You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Done by Law, brought to you by the Federation of Community Legal Centres.
Welcome to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM. And also, welcome to those listening via various podcast platforms or via streaming on 3cr.org.au. You're with Anna tonight. It's just after 6pm on Tuesday, the 2nd of September. We start tonight's show by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, the traditional owners of the land from which 3CR broadcasts. We pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to any First Nations listeners tuning in. Today's show will include discussion of some difficult and sensitive topics, including compulsory mental health treatment. If you feel like you need support, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or 13 Yarns for MOB on 13 92 76. Every day in Victoria, people are subject to compulsory treatment orders, where they're required to undergo mental health treatment. People lose their rights to leave hospital and are treated whether they agree or not. Under a treatment order, a hospital or clinic can give you medication against your will. These processes have stripped people of their autonomy and caused lasting trauma for many. In recent years, there have been growing calls to centre lived experience in the development of policy around treatment orders and promoting a rights-respecting system. Our guest today is Jake, and he's going to be sharing with us how he came to find himself tangled up in a largely hidden world of compulsory treatment, and how he managed to navigate himself out of it and the lessons he learned along the way. Welcome to the show, Jake.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jake. So I'm very, very pleased to have you here with us. And just to introduce you, Jake is a 28-year-old proud Gunditjmara and Gunai Kurnai man and member of the LGBTIQ community. Jake, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself to start us off with?
Yes, I'm 28 years old. As you said, I'm LGBT Gunditjmara Gunai man. I just pretty much go to gym. I'm looking for work at the moment. And yeah.
So we've got you on the show today to talk about compulsory mental health treatment. For those not familiar with what that is, what does that actually mean?
So compulsory treatment is something where if you have mental illness and you're going through, say, psychosis or you have a mental breakdown, you are put on a compulsory treatment order. And that's under the Mental Health Act. And this decision is like made by psychiatrists and doctors and people in the medical profession. So pretty much you have to take medication and be treated against your own will.
Are you able to tell us about that experience, Jake? What did that feel like being placed on a treatment order, and how long did that go on for?
So in my early 20s, I've had like a few admissions. So I would say probably 7 to 11 hospital admissions in the past 7 years. The first two times I wasn't put on an order, but then every time after those two orders, two incidents, I was put on a treatment order. And it was really a scary experience because like I didn't really understand what was going on. So pretty much, because I have bipolar disorder, and when I have an episode, pretty much, I don't really know what's going on. due to mania and all of that. So when I was in hospital, it was pretty much decided, like, against me that I had to have treatment. And that treatment involves high doses of, like, antipsychotic medications and mood stabilizers and sedatives and all of that. And you literally, you don't have any free will. Like, your freedom's gone. You have no rights, really. So you have to take this medication whether you like it or not. If you don't, you stay in hospital. And, yeah, it wasn't a very good experience for me.
So it sounds like there you had voluntary treatment a couple of times and then something changed and they decided to treat you against your will.
Yes, because it would start off as like an inpatient, there's all different orders. I would be on an inpatient treatment order, which is I would have to be treated in the hospital. And then when I would go through to have a mental health tribunal, they can decide whether they want to put me on a compulsory or community treatment order. There's all different orders, but compulsory is pretty much, yeah, I have no decision in what is like my treatment. Like, I have to take medication no matter what dose. And some people, like, can function on medication, but I can't. Like, it takes away all of my emotions. I can't function. I can't work. And, yeah, it wasn't a very tough experience for me.
That sounds incredibly tough. And it sounds like it went on for many, many years, in fact.
Yeah. Years and years of it where, like, every time that it was happening, I was just thinking, how is this, like, possible? Like, how is this, like, even allowed? You know, like, understandable. Like, I was having, you know, really hard times, you know, going through mania and all of that. But it didn't make sense for, like, it just didn't feel right. Like, taking all of my power, all of my freedom away.
And what was the process that happened that led you to being on an order? And did you have any opportunities to have a say in your treatment or be involved in the process?
So pretty much what happened was, like, if I was having a mental health crisis or a breakdown, anyone, for example, like, if you're going through something, someone close to you would call the CAT team or call the ambulance, automatically you're put under the Mental Health Act. So you could end up on a treatment order regardless of what's really going on. And I didn't really have any say until I got legal help involved and mental health advocacy and a lawyer and stuff. That was the only time where I was able to get my voice heard. If I didn't have any other assistance, who knows where I would be today, because, yeah, you need support around you to get anywhere at all.
And is that support that you're talking about, is that what made the difference in terms of coming out the other side, knowing, you know, now that you're no longer subject to compulsory treatment?
Mm-hmm. So I had a lawyer and a mental health advocate supporting me. And it was the best thing that I ever done, because, like, I didn't know, like, what to do at all. Like, because it just literally feels like it's you against the world. Like, I know that there are medical professionals out there just trying to help you, like, for your mental health. But it just really feels like they're just doing it on purpose to, like, hurt you. Even though they're not, it just feels like you feel very, very, like, attacked and isolated and all of that. So without any advocacy or any legal help, you can't really get anywhere, because it's like, it's like you're defenseless almost.
And with that treatment and those supports you're talking about, was there any cultural support?
Yes. Definitely, yeah. When I would talk to my lawyer, and when we get prepared for mental health tribunals, they would talk to me about, you know, who I am and what I wanted to say in the tribunal and all that, and get me prepared and stuff. And there was a lot of cultural safety around me.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
And being subject to this compulsory treatment on and off, sounds like for years, has this had a lasting impact on you?
Yeah. A bit traumatic, because, like, if something were to happen now, it would be understandable, like, if I needed to have treatment, that's fine. Like, I would be happy to take medication. But when it comes to being put on an order, it just takes everything away from me. It rips everything from you. So I'm always going to, in the back of my mind, always have that fear, you know, because I'm not on medication at the moment, but that's the risk I'm willing to take because I can't live my life being on medication. So I see a therapist and all of that. But, yeah, it has shaken me up a bit, but I know if I were to end up on an order again, I'd know what to do because I've been in there many, many times. So, yeah, it's kind of given me some kind of resilience.
Yeah, it sounds like you're incredibly resilient, Jake, and also very brave coming on live radio to talk about your experience. Incredible. And what helped you to heal and stay strong and break that cycle of compulsory treatment?
Just having people around me, like my lawyer, my mental health advocate, who really cared to, like, fight for me, because they saw me as a person, not someone with a disability, like a mental health, you know, disorder. And having someone fight for you, it's just like they see you for you and, like, they acknowledge you as a person. Like, that really kept me strong, because if I didn't have them, I really don't know where I would be today. So just having people who really care about their job and you really are caring people, is, yeah, that kept me, it kept me going, and that really helped me.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Jake. And we'll come back and finish this interview after a short break. We're halftime here at Done By Law, so please stay tuned and we'll listen to a community service announcement.
The law is part of our everyday lives, including when we buy something, use a service, have a job, or rent a house. The law can be used to help protect and support families when there is violence in the home or disputes over parenting arrangements. Sometimes we might need to understand the law to navigate specific government systems like Centrelink, getting a residency visa, or if we come into contact with the police. Community legal centres provide free, quality legal advice and assistance to help people with everyday legal problems. We focus on working with people who are experiencing disadvantage, such as financial hardship, family violence, homelessness, and discrimination. Community legal centres are independent, non-government organisations and can be found across Victoria and Australia. If you're experiencing a legal problem, your local community legal centre may be able to help. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres Victoria at www.fclc.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Welcome back to Done By Law on 3CR Community Radio with Anna. We're speaking with Jake about his experience surviving compulsory mental health treatment. Before the break, we talked about Jake's experience subjected to compulsory mental health treatment and how he managed to break the cycle. Jake, I wanted to ask what lessons you learned and whether you have anything you would like to share with other people who might be going through something similar or know someone who is.
Yes, knowledge is power. If I didn't know that there were services out there that would help me through those experiences, I wouldn't have known, like, what to do at all. Just knowing the rights that you do have is, like, the best thing ever if you ever end up in that situation. And just know that there are people who do care about you and that there really is people who want your freedom, and just having people who really support you around, just have good company when you're going through such a hard time, is what I'd say.
Thanks, Jake. And how did you hear about those services? Were there sort of posters up at the hospital, or did someone tell you?
Yeah, there were posters up at the hospital. And I reached out to every service that I could while I was in hospital. And, yeah, so if it wasn't for them flyers, things could have turned out pretty different for me. But, yeah, so just having access to that is like the, yeah, that really turned everything around for me, because I couldn't do it on my own. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can do stuff on their own, but especially something as difficult as that. I also wanted to ask you whether you had any advice for doctors or psychiatrists or nurses working in that mental health space from your lived experience perspective.
Yeah, I would say just to be more open-minded and considerate and have more of a heart, because not everybody can live on medication and not everyone has the same experience. Some people need medication to function for their well-being, and some people can't, you know, it's not really easy for them to sustain and live life and work on that stuff. Yeah, that's about it. And just, yeah, be more open-minded to who you're trying to help.
Thanks, Jake. And this might be a bit too personal, but I was wondering if you wanted to share any kinds of the types of side effects for the listeners that you're talking about that did impact your life from those medications that they put you on.
Yeah. So the medication that I was on at the time were just very, very high doses. And I ended up really depressed over that, and I was actually suicidal, and things did not, it just made things worse for me. I just think those things need to be taken into consideration, no matter what, you know, no matter what the medical profession is. It's just like, just think more, you know, as I said before, have more of a heart, have more of an understanding of people. Not everyone's the same, not everyone can function on that stuff. So with me, it was just like a thing where I couldn't socialize with people because I wasn't present, I wasn't in my body, I was just zonked out, you know. It just took a lot out of me.
I'm really sorry to hear that happened to you, Jake. Must have been really scary. Just had one final question, although who knows, maybe we'll keep chatting all night. In terms of policy and the law and these treatment orders, if it was up to you, would you change the law and the process? Would you make these treatment orders, you know, not a thing anymore? Or is anything you would change about the system?
I am a bit on the fence with that. But what I would say is, if something would need to change with the whole, you know, treatment orders and all of that, there really should be more freedom. There really, like, if I'm subjected to that and I need to have treatment, I should be able to choose the dose. I should be able to choose which medication, like that kind of stuff. I could say, yeah, outlaw it, but there's like a certain line, like fair enough if I need to take treatment, but if there's people out there harming people, they're not hygienic or they're being violent, and people who are really, really not in touch with, you know, their mental health, I would, you know, it would be a bit understandable. But at the same time, there needs to be more leeway for the patient. There needs to be more support. There needs to be more services out there to help.
And it sort of sounds like, sorry to cut you off, Jake.
Yep.
It sort of sounds like from what you're saying that medication is just part of a much bigger picture of things people need to support them to get better.
Mm. Yeah, because it's like, I think that there should be more therapists in that field. I think there needs to be occupational therapy, all kinds of therapy in there. It's more psychiatry. And then there has to be more than that because, as I said earlier, not everybody has the same brain. Not everybody has the same experience, regardless of what mental illness they have. I think there should be more open-mindedness.
And were you offered any other kind of therapies during all your hospital stays?
No. It was mainly just psychiatry, psychology. Well, mainly psychiatry. I can't do anything about the law, but that's just how it is. Like, they think that medication is the only way, and they get to decide for you. And I think people, it's good to have an opportunity to talk about it, because I think people need to know. Like, if you have someone close to you and you're making that phone call to the CAT team or to the ambulance, it has more of an impact because, yeah, automatically you put under the Mental Health Act and you can end up on an order. You really, it's almost like you don't have a choice. But, yeah, so it's a big deal.
We're sadly out of time this evening, Jake. And I want to give a huge thanks to you for really bravely coming on air and sharing your story and your words of wisdom. And I think, you know, every voice like this really contributes a step in the right direction to actually creating that broader piece of system change. So thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You've been listening to Done by Law on 3CR 855 AM, streamed at 3cr.org.au and available on various podcast platforms. Done by Law will be back again next Tuesday at 6 PM.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.